Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, October 31st, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Also, please join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. You can find that on the right-hand side of our website also. Okay, let me see if I can get out of this. All right, we're going to pick up where we left off quite a few weeks back. I've been away for a while. Computer's been down. I guess most everybody knows that. Seems like everything's back up and running okay now. Got to get used to some of this new stuff. Even on the Firefox is somewhat new. See if I can get back out. Okay, I think that was it. There it is. Okay. Okay, we're going to be reading in Book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 7. Last time we were together, we read Romans chapter 6, and this is by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions tonight? I have a feeling we've got quite a few that have been piled up.
We have three or four, John. Are you ready?
Well, that's not too bad, yeah.
No, not bad at all. The first one, the books you have, like Government by Consent, are they on audio or PDF format? I see you have an e-book, but my e-book doesn't read them to me, and I have not found a convenient process yet, unless you know how I can download the e-book and play it.
Well, there should be what they call, I think it's called Kindle. I know when I put my books up there, we also opened up in Kindle, so those books can be read. All my books are set that way. I don't know that there's any exception. There might be an exception, but I don't think so. So I don't know if that person is trying to get a copy of that Kindle book up off of Amazon. And I tried to make them very cheap because I think it's only a couple of bucks here, $2 or $3, maybe $4. I don't remember the exact price. But I kept it very cheap for people who wanted to download it and just listen to it being read. And that includes both all my books. It includes also the large books, the Government by Consent book and also Court Access and the Common Law. Both of them are being read. I eliminated the footnotes. If I didn't, I put them all away on the end. You know, you can make footnotes that are on each page. You can make them end notes so they don't come out until all the way in the end. And I don't know how that works out, whether they also read the footnotes if they are on the end. But I think some of them I put on the end and some of them I might eliminate it. I might have manipulated a little bit on the Court Access and the Common Law book because there's certain pages and of instructions and different things that wouldn't read very well, so I just eliminated pages. But it was just opened up for someone to be read to the major parts or the major points of that book. And it's true with all of the handbooks, they should be read straight out. And again, I might have put the footnotes on the handnotes on the handbooks all the way back as endnotes. So they should be available. I'm not sure why you may not be seeing them. Okay, next question. You've been muted maybe, Jan? Because I'm not hearing you.
No, you're not hearing me because I'm muted.
Oh, that's a good reason why I wouldn't hear you.
I'm not familiar with Kindle. It's my understanding that it just gives you the PDF reading or, like a Word
document. No, it's an actual plan that goes into, I guess you download some kind of an app and you put it on your phone or your computer or wherever you might want to put it. And I don't know why this ain't opening here because I was going to try to show it.
Will it talk to you and read the book to you?
Oh, here it is. Yes, yeah. Let me see if I can get to click here to order a book. Okay, no, let's go click here to order a book for yourself. Let me click on that. You're on Amazon here. Now, for instance, let's see this book here. I'm not sure exactly how this works. I kind of forget. There's supposed to be a button here where you can push. Okay, this is the two book major books that I've written. And again, I'm not too sure how this works. Maybe I can
Down at the bottom, there's an Audible $5.95 a month, John Duresh.
Where's that at?
Right in the middle now.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know what this is. Only 500 for first 4 months. I don't know what this means. I have no clue on this. The actual audio of the book should be able to be downloaded, and you own it, period. I guess it's a MP3 or something, or maybe a special kind of a player that works inside the app. You know, you have to download the app. I got to presume the app is free. I really don't know how that works with that. But once you have the app, then you can buy all these books and listen to them being read. Let me see real quick if I can find this. Maybe Amazon author page. Okay. View all books. Okay, and I think here there's supposed to be a button here. These are all the books we have up there. But there should be a button whereas you can flip over to see whether... I don't know where it's at. But anyway, if you poke around, you will find it. I know I was looking at it once and I was just seeing the audios, and then now I'm looking and seeing the books. This looks like it's the books. So again, I'm not sure where... All right, next question. People have to poke around. That's all. They'll find it.
Okay, in terms of coins, you have said to get the halves. Is there one place to get the larger dollar coins better than another, or is it the luck of the draw?
Yeah, as far as the dollar coins, other than they do have the dollar coins, but they're not like the old-looking dollar coins with, I believe that they got copper and nickel in the half dollars. And but the full dollars, you get these smaller coins that look like maybe a little bit bigger than a quarter, or maybe about the size of a quarter. I think a little bit bigger than a quarter. And they kind of make it look gold. I don't know what it's made of, but they kind of have a gold color to them. Now, I wouldn't get those. I just don't like them. I mean, I just like that, that half dollar look, because it looks like the silver dollars or the silver half dollars. But the key thing to the coins, I don't think it really matters what kind of a coin you get. If it's a U.S. Mint coin, then it has the value of the whatever inflation movement takes place. So, you know, if the dollar is worth 2 cents, which today it's probably worth about, matter of fact, the way things are going and looking at the shelves in the store, it's probably down to about a penny or a penny and a half at this point, a dollar. That may sound ridiculous, but that's a fact. I mean, what you pay a dollar for today, I used to pay years and years ago for a nickel. Matter of fact, you may even pay $1.25, and I was paying a nickel when I was a kid for the same item. And even back then, when I was growing up, the value of the dollar had lost a good part of itself, a good percentage. I think I did a chart on this. I don't remember exactly where that chart is. Maybe I'll pull it out for next week. I'll look for it. Maybe pull it out just to show you a little bit on the coins. But you can go back. I think in the 50s, let's say, I think the dollar was worth something like 80 cents. Somewhere around there, I think. In order to get a dollar for dollar, you got to go back into the early 1900s, you know, about 1920, somewhere around that neighborhood. So as soon as they came into play, 1913 or 1916. In fact, I think it's 1913. As soon as the Federal Reserve came in a play and it started to mess around with our money, within a year or two, the dollar value just started to decline, and it's been declining ever since. So now we're down to about a penny. So, but if that once things turn around, that dollar becomes a full dollar value because it follows the inflationary process. You know, they don't change the coins or anything as the inflation gets greater and greater, and the coin depreciates. You can buy less product for the money you're spending. So, but yeah, coins are the way to go. Now, what also is good about the half dollars is you'll find some silver half dollars in the mix. I don't open them up, but I know people who have, and you know, get two or three or four or five or sometimes even more silver half dollars in the mix. So that's kind of interesting. If you did go through them, you could take them and sell them and go out and get more half dollars, but you'd get a higher price for that half dollar. I don't know what silver is going for right now, but last I kind of remember, it was like $19 for a dollar. If I recall, let me think about it. Yeah, it was about $18 or $19 per dollar. So you can sell them for, you know, 18 bucks or whatever, a piece, and then collectively go and buy, you know, for $18, you're now going to get, 36 coins, half dollars. So someone could do something like that if they wanted to. I've got a lot of silver dollars. Matter of fact, I might consider selling them then, and then turning them over just to the regular coin. So, okay, next question.
Okay, P.S. I listen to the Patriot Soapbox shows when I can. Not sure what days you are on or if you rotate. I seem to be hit or miss, and I listen to Thumper almost every day. It might be useful to announce, John, the time that Gerard's show is on so people could follow it.
Yeah, Gerard is on, let me think, Wednesdays, and I believe he starts at 11, goes from 11 to 1, maybe 10 or 15 minutes after 11, but that's his price. I mean, that's his time. We'll try to maybe make a habit of that. I'll talk to Gerard, get the specifics on that. And as a matter of fact, he's in here right now. He can probably tell us a little more about that at this point. But I'll try to add that information into our introduction when we come in.
Okay.
Anything you want to add to that, Gerard?
Yeah, you got the time in the day right, and that's the important thing.
Okay. And my sound is still pretty good, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, back to you, Dan. What do you got?
Okay, last question.
By the way, the queue is open, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you have an app, there should be a join the queue or something in there somewhere. But go ahead.
Last question. Why has Ollie not changed his status? How could he be losing his home if all of this information works and correcting your status can help with finances?
Well, I don't know about Ollie losing his home or anything, and I don't know about Ollie changing his status. I wouldn't change my status. I'm one of the people, and I'm not going to get involved in the fraud and try to appease these people and give them. And we empower these people if we allow them to take ownership of the words, the meaning of words, and we allow them to take ownership of our nation by saying, okay, we're changing things to civil law, which they did in 1938 through the Rules Enabling Act of 1934. They changed the rules of the court from common law rules to civil law rules, and they also combined law and equity, and they now call that civil law. And it's all up on their website. You can go up to the they're probably part of the Federal Reserve anyway. You can go up to the Federal website, you know, for the judiciary, and you can find all that information. And we've got some snapshots of the pages where they talk about this, and that is treason. If those people were alive today that actually made that changeover, there'd be a lot of people hanging once we get through devolution. There'd be a lot of congressmen hanging, and there may be a lot of congressmen hanging anyway after the devolution is completely played out. So we don't teach people to go and, you know, make any changes like that. We don't teach people to get rid of their driver's license or anything. You know, I have a driver's license, and my position on that, well, first of all, I don't want to keep going to jail, so I'll have one because they will put you in jail. And then you can fight it. You might be able to win it. But the bottom line, ultimately, is as far as I'm concerned, the fact that I have a driver's license is just in case I decide to drive commercial again. So if I have to drive something and get into the commercial process, then I have to have a driver's license for that because that's what it's for. But we are winning in different areas now. We've beaten the IRS on one occasion at minimum, I'm back in the court with them again, and I got a court case that's pending, and I plan on winning that case. I've been dragging my feet on it because I'm looking to get closer and closer to courts of justice, which I think we're getting very close to. Look at what the Supreme Court has been doing over these past 6 months or so with Roe versus Wade, and also the gun law. Matter of fact, there was another decision on the gun law that you know, all gun laws are going to become you know, null and void, which is what they should be. So I think we're in a point, we're at the edge, you know, we're about ready to move into a paradigm shift. Things are about to really change radically. There's going to be some horrific news that's going to come out on what's really been going on in the background. I think maybe a lot of the people that come visit here are aware of a lot of this stuff, but it's even worse than we know. It's far worse than what we know. And all that's going to be revealed, and it's just coming up. So we'll be here soon. But again, we don't teach people to get rid of their driver's license, to get rid of their birth certificates. Birth certificates are unlawful also. They shouldn't be part of the process, but nevertheless, they're here. And we don't teach people to become nationals. I'm one of the people of New York. I'm a citizen of the United States. Therefore, I'm a citizen of any state I plant my feet into. I have all the rights of any other citizen of any other state in any place. And the word citizen in itself is really not that bad of a word. They try to make it so. Founding fathers used the word citizen 7 times in the Constitution. So if you go to the Constitution and run a word search on it, you'll find it come up 7 times. And, you know, we're citizens of a natural law republic. That's what and who we are. So we're not going to run away from words. We're not going to give them the ownership of words. We're not going to make them have to. And by the way, let me tell you something. All these people that think that they can change their status and do all these things and become nationalist and get rid of the driver's license. I mean, I knew a guy that did a lot of these things, and he has to rely on other people to drive him around. I mean, that's really silly, isn't it? Because he doesn't want to go to jail. But nevertheless, he gave it all up. You know, they could do all these things. And then you can find yourself in court, and if you think you're going to click your heels together and be transported into a court of justice, I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, because that's not going to happen. The only way you're going to beat these people, and we've been getting a little success now, and we're teaching this, and that is to hold their feet to the fire. Again, we're close to moving to back to justice, number one, so there'll be a tidal wave of justice coming. We're working. As a matter of fact, I was working on a paper before my computer went down, and I'll be getting back to that tomorrow, hopefully. Hopefully by the end of the week, I'll kind of be finished with a good rough copy of that, which will be filing in the federal courts against the federal judiciary, which I think will be a very powerful paper, bring together all of the work that we've been doing over the past 12 or 13 or so years, and really come to solidify all that and bring it to the point of execution of exactly, you know, what we're expecting the courts to do. And, you know, I'm not going to get too much into that because, again, I'm just getting back into writing that paper. But we'll share it hopefully in a week or two. Maybe we'll read some of it up and get some conversation on it before we file it. You know, in the courts, if you hold their feet to the fire, basically, you file your papers and you keep them in order. You do it according to common law. And as soon as they violate any of your unalienable rights in a court, you should have in your back pocket filled out all the information on all the officers in that court, because that's my strategy now. When I go to court, I'll have a back paper in my pocket called the quo warranto. And the quo warranto will have the judge's name on it and all the officers of the court's name on it. So whenever they want to violate my unalienable rights, that's when I will serve. I'll just pull out of my pocket and serve each one of these right there in the courtroom, the quo warranto, and they have, I think it's 11 days. I think it's an oddball number. It's in the law. It's written in the law. So I think it's like 11 days. They have 11 days to come up with it. They got to give us your bond, their bond. They have to give us their oath and their financials. And then we can take them to task through administrative process to the bonding system without even going back into the courts for that part of the process to get damages for maybe violating our right of due process or whatever unalienable right that they violated as your court case continues. And then you press the judge to do the right thing, because now he's got, matter of fact, that judge is out of here. That probably the best way to go is say, now you got to recuse yourself. You're out of here. Let's go. Next judge. And you can make some more money off the next judge. And so on and so on and so on until they decide that that they had enough, that they're not going to have to give up all their a copy of their financials to you. Because, you know, if they pull their bond, I don't know exactly how that works, but if they pull their bond, okay, if their bond gets pulled, then I think they can take some of the things away from them that is listed in their financials. But I don't really know how that works, but I would presume that to be the case. All right, anyway, I don't know that you can say that we haven't had much wins. It is kind of true, we haven't had a lot of them. But it took us a long time to figure this process out. It took us a long time of going in and out of courts, testing it. And I have a very big win against the IRS, where I got a letter of apology from the IRS, and I got a release of lien from the IRS. I also have a letter, in that letter of apology, it says that I am not required to pay income tax for those years. So I think that's a big win. And matter of fact, I got a copy of the paper that I wrote. I believe it's in my book. I know it's in the book, Court Access and the Common Law. Maybe I'll put that particular paper up on our website, and people will be able to download that. But the IRS is on its way out, so we don't have to worry too much more about them. But if you're dealing with them now, you know, you can use the paperwork that I put together, and you know, really puts them into a bind. Okay, any other questions, or is that it?
No, I have no further questions, John, but Terry has some input on Ollie.
Okay, sure.
That would be a good time.
Okay, Ollie has been living in subsidized housing. He's got a one-bedroom apartment, and they upped the rent by four times on him the other day. And so he's looking around. He's trying to get, he's on a...
Section 8?
I'm sorry?
It is, I think it's called Section 8 that he could file
for. I don't know that he's filed anything yet. I haven't talked to him in about a week now. Hmm. I need to go up there and see what the situation is.
Yeah, well, everything's going up. I know, you know, I had problems in for everything. Everything has gone crazy to the roof. And again, we're at war. You know, it may be a war that's not easily seen, but there is a war raging behind the scenes, and people are dying and people are being arrested, and not in major numbers. But, you know, the results is really cutting off our food supply. That's what these people, this administration has done. They cut off our food supply. They've cut off our fuel supply. Last I heard, which it was about a week or two ago, I heard that there was 29 days left of diesel fuel to fuel America, and it's not being replenished. So when that's gone and done, all trucking stops. So we're at war. And they're cutting off our food supply. They're cutting off our transportation, or you know, the transportation of our goods, and so on. There's a cannery problem. There's just a lot of things that you can't buy anymore. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. So I might as well make the point here. We talk about this. We've been talking about this for months, off and on, telling people you better go out and get some food. Things are about to drop really bad. I'm kind of surprised we're still haven't taken that turn yet. But I think there's a red line that needs to be crossed before that final turn is taken. And the pressure on these people to take that next step in order to do their real dastardly deeds, you know, there's going to be a scare, a nuclear scare, a world war scare, but we're not going to go into it. I think a lot of people here realize and know this. They've been watching and listening to what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak. But we do need food. And, you know, bare minimum, you need 30 days' supply of food in your house. If you don't have that, you're going to be in big, big trouble. And I would say 60 or 90 days would be much safer than 30 days. But you do need at least 30 days of food. And you should be trying to get as much coins as possible if you can't afford to buy silver or gold. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even bother buying silver and gold anymore, in my opinion, because I have so much faith in the coin value. No matter what it's made of, is totally irrelevant. It's a U.S. mint. That's created by the government itself. That's under the United States of America, the trust, the government that we put together. It is not a debt, a Federal Reserve note. That's a piece of garbage. But, you know, there may be some value to that because we're going to be restored. There's restitution to be paid. And when these people are finally taken out and arrested and judged, whatever judgment is upon them, you know, as Trump said many times, you know, when you rob a diamond store and you get caught, you got to give the diamonds back. Well, no different here. Majority of the economy of the world is owned by these people with all these large corporations and all of these super rich families. All of that money, all of that those goods, all of those corporations, all of that income, that's going to go to the people. We're going to be restored back, and that's the only just thing to do. I mean, what else could the government do when they seize all that? They're going to keep it for themselves? Well, we just have another unjust government if that's the case, wouldn't it? But I've heard talk of I forget what that paper is called. Maybe someone remembers. They can pipe it out. Where they claim that the military approached Congress and forced them into a situation where compensation to the people is to be made at some point in time. I forget what that's called, but I wouldn't necessarily not believe that. I tend to lean towards the possibility of that. But with or without, that paper is irrelevant. What is just and right is what needs to be done. So, okay, anything else here? And if you're talking, Jan?
No, not for me.
Okay. No announcements. Anybody? I don't know if anybody else out there has any announcements. But anyway, just real quickly, I've been gone for about a month. My computer is down. I think a lot of people know that. I mean, what a nightmare I had with my computer, and had to rebuild it from. You know, I've rebuilt it numerous times, and somewhere there was something bad, and every time I put something in there, that would go bad, and couldn't figure out what it was. And eventually I ended up just starting from scratch, taking everything back out, taking all the parts back to the store, and just reconstructing the whole thing with all new parts from the motherboard, and the core, and the sound card, and, you know, everything, all the way up. The power supply, because once you change, and then the RAM, every single thing had to be changed because everything is different than what it was when I built my computer the first time, which was back, I think, in 2013 is when I built this computer. And so once I got that up, then my next problem getting that going was installing everything again. I've lost almost everything. Didn't lose all of my work because I kept that on a different drive, but I did lose a lot of my programs. So I had to go fish them out through my file cabinets and, you know, inside the computer, the old C drive, just a nightmare. And Windows 10 is very, very difficult to try to get rid of all the garbage in there. You know, you're connected to the internet, you got the cloud, everything you do goes up into the cloud. I don't want none of my stuff to go into the cloud. I think people don't realize the danger of that. They think it's a great thing. It's the worst thing in the world you could do. You know, the government's got their fingers in that. And if everybody's computer's information, if a copy of everyone's computer is up in the cloud, they got everything. And why would we want them to have that? These corporations, of course, are all in bed with government. That's the way this whole system is set up. We've moved towards corporatism, and the setup for corporatism has already been in place. It's been in place for a long time. And corporatism and Nazism is synonymous, one and the same. So that's where we've been moving. And now, of course, it's being busted up, so thank God. But anyway, My computer's back up. I got Windows 10 in here, unfortunately, but I'm able to cut it off from the internet, supplying any of my information. I was able to make it look like Windows 7 and make a lot of changes in here so I can get around and get rid of all the advertisements. I mean, you were just solicited left and right, constantly solicitation, no matter what you're doing. But anyway, it took me a month to bring things back up, and I'm back up, and I guess things sound pretty good tonight, so I guess everything's okay at this point in time. Okay, with that, we're going to go take some questions. Again, I haven't been doing anything, by the way, because of all this, these problems. My focus has been on that literally 24/7. I haven't done any writing. I haven't done any work. I haven't done any communicating with any of the groups or anything. But I'm going to try to get real active, hopefully this week and next week, and try to catch up on things and get things moving again. Okay, with that, let's see if we've got some questions in there. Q&A, we do have a few people. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? Again, if you're on a phone, *6 and 1. If you've got an app, there should be a button to get into the queue. Just click on that, and we'll take it from there. All right, we'll take our first person. And by the way, if Brent shows up, let me know. Someone keep an eye out for Brent. Okay, let's take our first person here. It is David from New York. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi there, John. Happy Halloween. And my question has to do with possibly setting up a strike team of maybe 3, 4, or 5 people that might be available to respond to any sort of legal problems that people might have that need assistance to go into court with additional knowledgeable people to assist them?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we had a court watchers group. When we first started this quite some years back, we had a guy that was really, really involved you know, really building up a nice system with us. And he understood a lot of the things about the court and court access, and he was videotaping a lot of the different court cases, and he started working with us. Unfortunately, that individual got poisoned by some other individuals, you know, so we kind of lost that person. And but we have had a few people over the years try to run that, but no one's really been really on top of it or has run it very well. If anybody wants to volunteer for that to assist people, really towards the court watchers, where people would get people to come. You know, we were putting out the word, you know, whenever someone was going to court, as long as we had enough time, we would put the word out and let other people know that if they can get to the courthouse when that particular court hearing is going to take place, that they'd be able to get there and then write affidavits to give to the person that's in court. And then we could try to assist them with some knowledge. Of course, I've written the book, Court Access and the Common Law, so anybody that really needs to get information on the court, and I tried to make this available price-wise. It's a big book. It's almost 600 pages. It's maxed out for its size, and so it's 580 pages or something like that. It's almost 600. Wait, maybe it's more than that. Hold on. Let me take a quick look. 500 and change, and this is an 8.5 by 11 book. So this is a big book, and it's a hard cover. Yeah, it's 547 pages. Okay, 8.5 by 11 hardcover, durable, really nice, a real pretty book. Sold on Amazon, and we're selling it for $39.95. I see some books, a lot of books being sold, even and they're paperbacks, and they're maxed out paperbacks, let's say, and they're being sold $50, $60, $70 for, you know, a real good book that maybe gives a lot of good information. Specialty books, I guess you'd call them, but there's no need to sell them for that kind of price. So anyway, this book here is $39.95. You can buy it on Amazon. I did not go through my publisher. And as a matter of fact, I'm got a little problem with my publisher. So the book Government by Consent, I also published that up on Amazon. That's a hardcover book also now. It's $39.95. Again, the same thing. It's maxed out on the pages. It's about 400 and whatever pages. I mean, 587 pages, whatever it was I just said. It's a hardcover, 8.5 by 11. Beautiful book, very durable. So anyway, if you need help for the court and you want to come to us to get that help, the first order of business is get the book, because you have to understand how the process works. You have to understand how the paperwork is, and this explains everything. It's got the anatomy of a court case. As a matter of fact, let me see, if you go here and you click on the page here, Court Access and the Common Law, it gives you a lot of information, and it lays out the chapters and what's in here. You know, we have the essentials, okay, and this is essential information, the rudimentary precepts, footnotes, coming in per per. You know, all of these basic information that you really need to understand before you go into a courtroom. And Chapter 2 is an anatomy of a court case, which lays out exactly how all the paperwork goes forward, all the pleadings, the summons, the file and demand, how to open a court of record, doing the affidavits of service by mail or in person, you know, different motions and how things work and the pleadings, and it's a conversation back and forth. You know, a court case, really, lawyers really screw the whole thing up, and, you know, it's just, they've messed up our courts really bad. The system is really set up, at least here in New York it was set up, where you go and get your index number, which shouldn't cost anything, and we have also a plan on how, and a process on how you can go into the courts without paying. We haven't tested it yet, but we do believe it, I believe it's going to be successful. But we'll see how it goes. Once I test it, I'll let everybody know. But we'll make that information available on how to do it. We'll put it up on our page here underneath Educational Starts here. It'll be under the law, and you'll come in and you'll see, I think it's under here, yeah, Court Forms and Process right here. And you click on that. We've got a lot of free information here. All this information is in the book, but of course the book is of far more information than this. But this is some of the paperwork that's available we people can take and download and use. Just curtail it to your own personal needs, you know, your personal information, what your case is about, so on and so forth. But basically it's a framework of a lot of stuff. But you really do need the book in order to understand the process. But again, let me get back to the way things is supposed to work. When you go into the court and you file a paper in a court, you know, you wait. There's what's called really getting the index number, which is, you know, the basically the case number. And you file your papers with the clerk, the county clerk, which goes to file into the courts. And you serve your papers. And they're supposed to respond, and a copy goes into the clerk. And you have your argument back and forth. Okay, there's no need for a judge at this point, unless you come into a conflict where something needs to be decided, then you file for what's called judicial intervention. I like to call it judicial interference, but judicial intervention. And so you file for that, and then you can get a hearing, and the judge will be there and decide on how to make things work. And as long as they judge righteously, that's fine. I mean, you can appeal every decision the judge makes and appeal it right up the line as the court case goes on. But the point is this, is the argument takes place on paper before you even get into a courtroom, before the case actually starts. You know, you could be months back and forth with the argument, then you can end up in court and the court case could be ended in a day or two or three, you know. But once you put all that information back and forth, once you're ready to go into the court, you can't bring any new information unless it's newfound information, something you didn't know about, now you know about. But if something you should have known about or you did know about prior and you didn't put it into the case, well, then it's not getting into the case. And I guess that sounds right, you know, because if you figure out how things work in the argument, then you have to be fully informed on both sides, so there's no sneak attacks, you know. You can't bring anything new into the court unless it's newfound. And again, if it could be proven that you knew about it before or you should have known about it before, you may not get it in at that point. But a lot of problems could be solved if people were honest, and that's unfortunate because we're dealing with lawyers, and you know how lawyers are. They're not honest at all. Very few you'll find, very rarely you'll find an honest lawyer. But in any event, the thing is when you make your arguments back and forth, it becomes obvious who's going to win. And then you try to make a deal and settle it, and you don't even have to get into the courts. And that's the whole process of the paper writing, pleadings and different things, and motions if necessary. But that's how it works, and a lot of people don't realize that. But anyway, here's the anatomy of a court case, which is the building of the case. It lays out a lot of information on your different motions, how things work, and the pleadings, and you know the conversation back and forth. Then Chapter 3 deals with the Republic law, a law in equity. Then the two courts in Chapter 4, jurisdiction and sovereignty in Chapter 5. 6 causes of action, 7 case examples, strategies, and mindset, 8 affirmative defenses, 9 punitive damages. That's a very important one if you're going up against a corporation. Motion examples, Supreme Court rulings and statutes and rules, especially things that really would be very concerning for us. And then Chapter 12, getting ready for the trial. Chapter 13, memorandums. We've got lots of memorandums in here. We have, Chapter 13 has some memorandums, and then we have Chapter 13A, which has IRS memorandums. That'd be very helpful to anybody battling the IRS. Extraordinary writs, Chapter 14, 15, habeas corpus, 16, rules of the common law, 17, rights to practice law, 18, notice and demand, 19, information on the jury, trial jury, and the grand jury. 20, founding father quotes, which would be very powerful and helpful in the court in different cases. 22, looks at maxims. 21, looks at maxims. 22, talks about footnotes, and we've got a lot of footnotes we've not only used in the book, but also a lot of footnotes that are laid out that you can go through and use. Very powerful. Has surety bonds. American Bar, then there's Chapter 24, American Bar Association must be disbanded for treason. And that is part of the process we're working on right now, which is going to be part of a judiciary case because it was the Bar Association that has steered our legislators into the subversive legislation that we have today over the last 100 or so years, over 100 years. And it's the Bar Association that has taken control of our courts. It's the Bar Association that is taking control of all of our judges. You know, all the judges belong to the bar, and they're in just as much danger of losing their job as any other lawyer if they don't comply. They'll pull their Bar Association and destroy these people. So the Bar Association has steered our courts, has steered the legislators, and have totally trashed and destroyed our judicial system, and the government is as honest and just as our judicial system is. And if anybody's been in our judicial system, you know how unjust that is. Well, the government is the same thing. The administration is crooked. They're corrupt. Legislators are corrupt. The whole system is, again, the system is in perfect shape. Okay, there's nothing wrong with our system. You know, there's just some things that needs to be appreciated. That's null and void. We need to remove them, and that's where the Republic Review comes in, and that's why we support the Public Review. If people don't know about that, you should read about that. The Republic Review. I think that's under. Where is it? Is it under today? No, federal. Oh, I think that's under Starter Committee of Safety. Yeah. Here's the Republic Review. Excuse me. If you don't know about the Republic Review, you should watch these videos on this page and read up on it. Once you go through this page, you'll understand completely what it's about and what's being done there, which is going through our legislation. From the state level, this is where the legislators need to get involved, and the states actually, representatives from each state need to be sent to review and work through all of the federal legislation and get rid of all the garbage, all the stuff that is unconstitutional, which is probably about 80% or maybe even 90%. Well, I wouldn't say it's all that high. There's a lot of good stuff in there, but there's a lot of really bad stuff stuffed in there. So I think it's a high percentage of legislation that needs to go. So anyway, trying to remember how we got here. We were talking about the book here, Court Access. Okay, yeah. So anybody that needs assistance in the courts, you got to get the book or get some book from somebody else, whatever, but you got to get some basic knowledge. I don't know of any book out there. Not that there isn't any book out there, but I don't know of any book out there. You got to get some knowledge. You got to get some understanding of the system. You got to get an understanding of the paperwork and how things work. And this book will give it to you. And as you're working through that process, then we can assist you. And you got a base to work off of, and we can communicate and give you some information and ideas and thoughts on different things. We don't want to get too involved with anyone's personal case, but we'll give information. Okay. Any other questions, Dave?
Nope. I'm all set. Thank you for going over that, John. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. And again, we only got a few people in the queue, so star 6 and 1, anybody wants to get in there. Let's take next person. Hey, see what you could do about setting something up down in New York City. I'd love to come down there and talk, but I'd like to talk to a large group, do something in Manhattan or someplace down there. I don't know. Maybe we'd want to stay out of Manhattan. Things aren't too well out there. How's it going down there in the city?
It's going fine. I'd love to get a group where we could all meet and, get together and, rub elbows and meet each other and, get a little organization rolling with things happening here.
All right. Well, if anybody is online tonight or listening to this recording when we put it up and they're from New York City and they want to get together and work with Davey, we can make the connection here. We can get a lot of groups down. Well, I've been down to New York City on a few occasions. I've been down there for the Oath Keepers and spoke to them and other groups when we were doing the primary working with the primaries. That was before we were doing what we're doing here. We had a different name back in those days. But anyway, we were down there, and we always had a good group, a good amount of people, got a lot of people involved. We should have a lot of people down in New York City. I'll have to look to see the list. Maybe you can make a contact with them, make some phone calls, and try to get something going. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let me go to the next call. The next question. It is Andromedia. How you doing, Andromedia? You got the mic.
Hey, man. Two brief questions. Some time back, I heard you mention something about, if you have a nonprofit, you mentioned something about I don't remember if you called it common law.
Common law.
Is that it? For a long time, I have dealt with a youth organization, and it's 501c3, but, I want to get away from that, because some things I still was learning. So I want to turn it into, whatever's the common law thing. So is it a common law trust?
Right. It's a common law trust. Let me think about this. Again, I'm out of things for a month now, and my mind is kind of a little foggy here or there, but bring this up to me next week, and between now and then, I'll try to locate all the information I have on a common law trust, and then I can get it to you. I'll post it up, probably up on a website. Brent did a thing on trusts, but he was looking at it from his perspective, as a lawyer, and he's not a bar attorney, but he's still dabbling in the courts, and, he's... he's stuck. We have a lot easier because we could do things that a lawyer can't because they can really
right, exactly.
Bad. But in any event,
then my next question would be, well, how are they doing financing since you're not dealing with, IRS measures or whatever, or accounting for and, reporting and things?
I have not dealt with the IRS most of my life. When I went into business for myself, which was quite some time ago, point forward, I've never dealt with that. I've always been one step ahead of them, by God's mercy. And when it caught up with me, I had knowledge. And I didn't realize how much knowledge I had, but I had enough knowledge, and I had some really deadly ammunition that they could not deal with it in the courtroom. So that's why I got away with what I got away with. And, and again, I don't know anybody else that has ever gotten an apology letter from the IRS, a release of lien from the IRS. And I was told in that apology letter that I do not have to pay taxes. So, hey, go figure that out. Anyway, obviously, I hit a nerve. And that's available in the book, and it'll be available. It's very, very much available in the book. But I will get this paperwork together on the trust. You have to be careful with the trust. I mean, by the time you get it together, you'll be on the other side of devolution, so it should be okay. Mm-hmm. This side of devolution, be able to articulate yourself and defend yourself should they try to attack you on this. I'll be going into the courts soon, and they're probably going to try to get something to try to make me get a lawyer, because they may try to think, well, this is a corporation, but it's not a corporation.
I know.
It's a trust.
I know.
And now that opens another can of worms, so I got to be prepared to deal with that can.
Yeah, I want to remove mine from being a nonprofit corporation.
I'm sorry.
Because I started way long ago when I still was not that learned.
When you go into a nonprofit corporation, that's a whole can of worms on its own, because you got regulations.
Yeah, I want to remove that.
Oh yeah, you got to get away from that.
Again,
one of the things I did was I did two things. I've always incorporated, and I always did.
Yeah, it's incorporated. It's incorporated, but I want to remove the 501c3.
Corporations protect you from the IRS quite well. It's protected me over the years, and because they go after the person, or they go after the corporation. And as a person, I'm broke, So.
Right. But I want to remove the 501c3 part.
Yeah, that's a major, major problem. Yeah. I'll get the information together for you. Like I said, Brent did a study on the trusts. I'll try to get that information for you. If he's on tonight or one of these nights coming up, you can talk to him about it. You can, because the course is there. He did a live course, but the course is available for anyone to go in and take the course and get all of those courses. And it's advantageous, even though I disagree with some of the things in there. If you look at the information that I have and you look at the information he's got, then you can make a decision which way you want to lean. But at least you'll see the difference in the contrast. But the knowledge that he gives is very, very powerful, very beneficial.
Right.
It also sets up gives you a lot of potential flags that may come up that you can understand before you even get involved, so you would know how you would really deal with that problem and how you would structure things and how you would be a little careful, from the enemy, ultimately. But anyway.
Well, my other question is this. On one of the recording, one of the videos, it's actually in the Committee of Safety lineup of videos you have, I saw you mention a very important document, but that document, I don't think you have it up on your site. And you filed it into a court.
Let's go back here. This is in one of the books, you're saying, under the handbooks?
It's on your... no, you don't mention it in your book. It's on one of your videos, and it has something like, I didn't write it down, but one part of the name is a recap of the record.
Okay.
And I know you tried to file it in court. In there, you give a mandamus to the bar, and I went and looked up the case where it was rejected in the federal court in New York. Being evil they are.
Yeah.
I want to get a hold of that document myself, and you don't have it on your site, but you mention it twice in two different videos You mentioned it twice, a recap of the record.
Yeah, I'd have to know
what it's a mandamus.
Okay. What you will probably find it, let's see, under the federal court case, if you go in here and you come up action against the judiciary, okay, you click on that link. I'm going through that on the
so it's you're talking to the bar especially.
Right. Well all of
the command.
All of those papers would be found here. You just have to figure out which one it is, because we've got a lot of papers. We've got written mandamuses, lots of.
What's the name of it on the video? But I didn't see it, and I've been through your different.
You have to tell me the video at least. Try to find the video and let me know what the video is, and then I can go and just kind of breeze through the video, and maybe I can locate what you're looking for. But you
I don't have it in front of me, huh? You did a complete mandamus to the bar. You talk about how you filed over 100 and something documents to the court, and you were met with silence and things like that.
Well, that you wait till the next paper comes up, because I'm solidifying everything, including that. And on the paper from the bar, we did a memorandum, and we might have done more than a memorandum. Matter of fact, I believe we did a mandamus to the bar.
Yes, and there on that one you mentioned is a mandamus you did to the bar.
We laid out the subversion going all the way back. I didn't take it all the way back to 1750, because at the time I wrote that I didn't know what was going on back in the colonial days. But the bar started their corruption of our courts back in 1750 when we were still.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, but when I wrote the paper, I wasn't aware of that then. But I do pick it up from the 13th, the original 13th Amendment, which is back in Jefferson's day. It was a very.
I just want the copy of that document that you only show the copy and you read it. You actually read it, but it's on the video.
Yeah.
You're reading it and you're showing it.
I think that's the one where I lay it out. Well, again, I have to go look, but I think that's the one where I lay out all of the crimes, all of the subversion going all the way back and, you know, building up streets, all that stuff. I'll see if I can find it for you. All right, if you
well,
could
what I'll, do is I'll email you the video, because you are showing it and you're reading it, and then it shows the case number. I went and looked it up, and I saw where the court refused to let you, they interfered and wouldn't let you file it.
Yeah, every court case we have filed, they have just hidden our papers. They've covered our papers. They don't want our papers.
Well, they do that to me. They do that to me, too. They like doing that to me.
Yeah, but
I hit them up.
See, the next paper solidifies all of this, and it talks about all this, and it lays it out, and it makes reference to. And we come in with hundreds of cases that are attached to what we're doing, and which proves the crime. It proves conspiracy across the entire nation, from no matter what state and what court you're in. The federal judiciary is completely 100% corrupt. And each one of these federal courthouses, they also have, they house the Federal Reserve courtroom, which is tax court. USC 26, which has nothing to do with we the people, has nothing to do with the Constitution, has nothing to do with government, has nothing to do with anything. It's just a court for the elite to take your things and put you in a jail. I mean, that's about it.
Yeah, they're completely irrational. I've filed things on them that really get them upset, and they're very good at, they're masters of evasion.
Mm-hmm.
And they give orders to the clerk, you know, return that or don't do that, don't file that, and, you know, just, you know, when they're feeling threatened.
Well, what you're looking for, you may also find in the book. Let me back up here a bit to where the book was. Is this the page of the book? Yeah. This one here, you may find everything you're looking for and a lot more. I don't know if you had a chance to get the book, but here.
Yeah, I have the book.
I focused.
I told you long ago I got the book.
Okay, go to chapter 13. Which has some memorandums, and I don't think you're going to find in there what you're looking for, but in Chapter 13A, IRS memorandums, and in Chapter 14 has the extraordinary writ. You may find exactly what you're looking for in Chapter 13A and 14.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I'll look too and see if I can.
I want to see the video that I'm talking about. You go over this in two of them. And it's on. You have it. It's in your lineup of suggested videos for committees of safety. It's in there.
Oh, okay. Let's see then. Let's go to the committee of safety. We have It's good.
Yeah, I'm not looking at it right now. I'm not in front of the computer.
Handbook and tools. Yeah, but I'm going to go through it real quick. Organizing.
One is called a recap of the records.
Video, PowerPoint, video, videos and PowerPoint videos. Let's see, sounding, okay, that's laying out. Okay, downloaded videos for county, for different meetings, county meetings. Yeah, I think it's in here. I think I know which one you're talking about. I'll go looking for it. I'm not going to spend time on it now, but I think you
I wanted a copy of that. It's a powerful writ, and you're reading it, but I don't see a copy of it, but you're showing that you're showing it, a picture of it, and you're scrolling up the pages, and
right.
you're reading it.
Yeah,
and
I
can see it clearly, but I
will find that. I know what when you're talking about. I'll breeze through. I'm sure I'll be able to find it. I made a note here to look for that.
And I went to the case, the federal court, and filed it in. I went to it just to look at it. I saw where they rejected it, all evil and everything.
Yeah, well, they hide everything we got. You know, we still up to the last paper we're sending. You know, they were saying, "Oh, that court case is closed. Oh, yeah, that's not it's not real." Whatever.
Yeah, I heard people.
But at that point, we're still sending papers in. They were still taking it, and they didn't send them back because they knew. They know what
they sent a couple of mine back out of fear.
We haven't gotten anything back. They have not sent anything back to us. And they haven't even sent us a letter telling us anything.
One of them, they kept it and they just keeping it and holding it and won't put it up on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I will also see what I can find. Let's see, if we go to education, go up to the law. I may have it up here already. I don't remember because I know I spoke to someone about this a while back.
One is a powerful writ of error and the judge has confiscated it. And he won't put it up, and he won't send it back.
Hey, we got a book up here for people who are looking for land patent. I know people were looking for land patent information, which I don't think you really need to get too involved with, but it's good to have the knowledge, and it might be a lot simpler. I have not read through this book, but I'm trusting that it is the process to go through. It looked by breezing through it, it looks like it is.
Well, I want a copy of that because you give a kind of an extensive command to the bar, the one I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, I'll find that. I'm looking right now for the trust. We have instructions and forms for challenging jurisdiction, instructions and forms to move your case to the federal court for cause, instructions and forms for filing a habeas corpus, move court
yeah,
for
Yeah, I do all that. I got one that they just told me around.
Hang on a minute. Yeah. It may have some things in here. There's some downloads here. These are very, very powerful downloads, okay?
Uh-huh.
Edward Cook, Maxims of Law, Bovier's Lawful Money, Civil Procedure, Bovier's Law, Black's Law, second edition is available, and the fourth edition is available to download. Very powerful.
I got fourth, fifth, and sixth Black's Law.
Right here, downloading footnotes is very powerful also.
I got footnotes.
Okay, here's a lot of memorandums here, landmark Supreme Courts. Okay, I don't have the trust up here. I thought I might have. I'll put some trust too. Are you interested in the trust? And I'll put that up there.
Yeah, I want to change what my organization is. I don't want the 501c3.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to move to the next person. Anything final before we move?
No. One person asked a question I was going to ask about an audio edition of your book.
Yeah, everything's up on there. You just got to find it on. Goodness, let me see.
I have the hard copy, but audio is very convenient because when I move around, I don't always have time to stop what I'm doing and sit down and reading. Audio is very good with me because I'm also an audio person.
Mm-hmm.
I have your hard copy, the court access and common law. I have it. The one only, and I got others too. I got the pocket handbook, and I don't know, a couple of others. I think the only one I got to get is government by consent.
Let's see if I can find this quick.
I got all kinds of Federalist Papers and book, both anti and Federalist Papers. I can listen to that on audio too. I listen right on YouTube.
Hey, you see, they're selling, you know, my publisher's still selling my book. I told them to cease and desist, and they're continuing anyway. But I'm going into court with them next month. And here, they're selling my book for $45. It's a paperback.
Oh, I know what it is. Wait. Did you get the YouTube video, okay, that I sent you recently? About a month ago.
I haven't gotten any mail in a month because I've been offline. Yeah. And I lost
a lot. Okay, well, I need you to look at that ASAP. We got a monster here in Harris County, okay, that is attempting to commit genocide, okay? It's in the Harris County Sheriff's Department. And I don't know how, and his boss, the head sheriff, just never let him do whatever he wish. He's been, and he has a variety of offenses in and out of the sheriff's department since 2008. And they keep letting him do whatsoever, and he recently committed murder. And I'm concerned he's going to kill someone else until we remove him. I'm working as fast as I can.
Well, that's
deal with the community safety.
Come into play. It's important. Let me go through this real quick because we were talking about the committees of safety is important to deal with this problem. You're not going to be able to deal with it.
I've been working on that.
Let me go through these books because there were questions on this book. Now
we hold a meeting every week.
We got the Common Law Grand Jury Handbook, okay, which you can purchase. Now, I want to make this point. It's very important, and you look at this. And again, this is through my publisher, and I guess people who sell the books, bookstores on Amazon. I don't know how they work that out. But in any event, they're selling my paperback for $45, okay? Then they want a Kindle. They want $40 for Kindle, okay? You don't have to pay that, okay? If you come down and you continue to look for my books, okay, some of these books are not mine. Oh, but here, okay, here's my book here, $39.95 for the book, and for the court access. I'm looking for Kindle now because I have Kindle up here and I'm not seeing it. Why ain't I seeing it? See, all these books, you see, here's Kindle here, okay, and here's Kindle here. And
I got Kindle.
Let me go to Kindle here.
See, one of the old ways the textbooks they used to do is they put a CD in the back of the book.
Mm-hmm.
A CD, of exactly what that book says. Especially people who are blind.
Here's court access in the common law. I'm only charging $3.99 for Kindle. Okay, that's all. $4, and you get the recording. You put it in your app, your Kindle app, and you can listen it. And you can even share it with other people because there's a plan for sharing. And I went into that plan because I want the word out. That's what I want. I need money, of course. And National Liberty Alliance needs money.
This is on Amazon?
Is on Amazon, $3.99 for the Kindle. Now, there should be a Kindle here for government by consent, and I don't know why there's no Kindle here. I got to look into this to see what's going on. To me, this isn't very clear. But I have Kindle on all my books, okay, and it's only a couple of dollars I charge, so I may make a buck or something for everybody who downloads a Kindle or two. Maybe I'll make $2. But anyway. That's where it's at.
I'm begging you to listen to a video link, a YouTube link of a murderer we got in the sheriff's department here. That's completely jungle animal material, out of control. He got to be getting rid of. There is no sending him anything. He's irrational.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's completely irrational. He's been doing crime since 2008, and no one's stopping him. The head sheriff is letting him do whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought BSO. You remember I was in Florida. I thought Broward Sheriffs, and they're bad. Remember, I was from Florida. Now I'm here in Harris County, Texas. Okay, these here take the cake. I didn't think you could get any worse. You got to listen to the video. Look at what I sent you. It's quite explanatory.
The whole government is corrupt. We know that. I mean, there are some honest people, very few and far and in between, but a lot of people are going to be leaving government. And that goes right down into the state level. The only way you're going to fix it is the people got to get up, they got to get educated, and they have to get involved with committees of safety and exercise their government by consent and take control of their government. That's how we people can take control of our government through the committees of safety.
Well, I'm working as fast as I can.
I got to move on to the next caller, okay? But just real quick, I'm looking at the book here on its own. I'm looking for Kindle. There should be a Kindle. Let's see, hardcover. Oh, see all formats and editions. There it is. Click that. Government by consent. Now, I don't know why Kindle isn't here, because I do have this book up there in Kindle. I'll have to look into it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. All right, let me move on.
Again, I want that document I mentioned, okay, that you have. I'll send you the video that says what it is.
On the trust, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that and the other thing I mentioned, that's the mandamus you did in reading it off.
Yeah, the mandamus. Okay. I'll see what I could put it to find it for next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Let me go to the next caller. And we only got two people in the queue, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, a star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone and on your app, you should be able to hit get into the queue. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. We're going to go to the next caller. Thanks. Okay, Felicia from Florida, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, this is Felicia from Florida. How you been?
That's what I thought I said. Felicia from Florida. How you doing?
I'm going to try to be quick. I sent a link about on C-SPAN how the Internal Revenue says that income tax is voluntary when I heard you talking about it.
Uh-huh.
So I hope you get that. But my thing is this. I've just been sitting here thinking. We are thinking on a level of man. We need to think on a level of God.
Absolutely.
And what would God would do and how we can actually get out of this situation, because we're continuing to abide by all these laws and statutes that they put in front of us that's not lawful under the eyes of God, and we're not winning.
Well, absolutely.
So in my opinion, that needs to change.
Absolutely. And in my book, I have a chapter which we talk quite a bit about our founding fathers and Christianity and who we are as a people. And look, at our founding fathers were pious Christians. Not every single one of them, but majority of them were pious Christians. And those who were not, we even had some atheists. It was one atheist in particular, we had some atheists, but the bottom line, and everybody agreed that we are a Christian nation. Our founding fathers created a Christian nation. You read history, you can't get through the history of our founding fathers without seeing that. You can't get through it. You know, common law springs forth out of Christianity. It comes out of the Bible. Judaism, too, of course, because we're structured out of the first five books of the Bible as a nation. And so that's how our structure is. We have a government and we do have a king, okay, and that king is God, and that king rules through the courts. You see, our nation will be as just as our courts are. If we have just courts, we will have a just government, and that's key. But the only way you're going to have a just court is if the people are educated and the people are involved. And remember, again, I'm not sure whether it was Benjamin Franklin. I got to look this up to see which one, Benjamin Franklin or Jefferson, and maybe they both even said this. We don't have government by majority. We have government by the majority who participates. So we don't need 100% of the people. Okay. And even when you go into the Bible, and the Bible speaks about the children of God, and it talks about Jacob, and Jacob's name being changed to Israel. And Jacob is a picture of a corporate body, and Israel is a picture of the spiritual body, the body of Christ. And Jacob, and then there are those that cleave to Jacob, okay? And those are the non-believers. So you have believers that are nonchalant Christians, and you have, of course, the body of Christ, which are strong Christians, and then you have those people who will cleave to them. And you go back into the history and go back into the first five books of the Bible and see how many people wanted to cleave to the Jews because of their government. They had a republic. They had a very powerful republic. It was a common law republic. The king of the court ruled ultimately everything, and that king of the court was God. And the ruling of God's ruling was exercised and executed by the King's Bench, and the King's Bench is the jury. And we go in and we take a vow to God, that's the way it's supposed to be, that we're going to operate and make our decisions with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy, and look for justice. That is the key. And you see, if we become a nation that gets back to that again, and we have just courts, and we'll have just governments, and we have a just government, then we have a government dealing with other nations justly, and that influences other people. You know, because when you have a godly reflection, okay, even though you may get assaulted a lot, but and spoken ill about, people are drawn to that because there's something there. There's God. That's what's there. You know, we went to this event, Gerard and I, last week, and it was last week, and I think it was Friday and Saturday event, and goodness, God's name came up probably every 10 minutes out there, even talking to the people. I'm talking about the people on the stage. God was constantly in view. We had General Flynn up there. We had numerous people, a lot of people that Gerard knew, but I didn't know because I don't. Excuse me? You were there?
I wish I was there.
Yeah. Oh, you were there, or you wish you were there?
I wish I was.
Oh, okay. Well, the event was very godly, very Christ-focused, very God-focused, and everybody recognized and realized, I see a revival. I think I see some phonies, too, but, you know, that happens. It is what it is. But nevertheless, you know, there is a focus. And if you go into the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of our law, okay, that is the foundation that all of our papers are built upon. And there are eight principles that Jefferson founded. And those eight principles are founded in the Bible. And he brought them in to the Declaration of Independence. I write about this in the book. We lay out the eight principles. And that's who we are as a people. And the Declaration of Independence is a covenant with God. That's where it starts. We made a covenant with God that we wanted to live under God, that all men are created equal, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, with certain rights, life, liberty, and so on and so forth. And in order to, we ask for the blessings of liberty in that. And as a matter of fact, in the preamble to the Constitution, one of the jobs, one of the requirements of government is to secure the blessings of liberty. There are six principles or six prerequisitional points that are put forward that government was exercised in everything they do. And at least one of those principles or things has to be exercised in whatever work they do. And of course, they don't do that because they're far from that. But the point is, though, is that we are definitely a Christian nation. We expect the blessings of liberty. Liberty, you cannot have liberty unless you've been blessed with it. It's not something an individual can achieve on their own. But liberty comes from a humble heart. Liberty comes from an individual or a group of people that have a desire to have justice, to do the right thing, and they recognize that that liberty is a blessing, that they can't achieve it on their own. So it's an unalienable right, and that's the most powerful part of it. The Bill of Rights lays out the main focus of our liberties. But if people expect to be ignorant and free, as Jefferson said, they expect what never was and never will be, and so they're not going to be able to have a just courts, a just society. They're not going to have government by consent. They're not going to have our heritage, which gives us our liberties. You can't have that unless we're blessed with it. And to be blessed with it is to desire to live under it, to live under a just system, under a just court. So God rules from the court ultimately through the King's Bench, and that's where everything flows out from there. You have just courts, you'll have a just government. But that means you have the people. You can't have just courts unless the people are involved, because they're the King's Bench. They have to have the knowledge of the King's Bench. And that's where everybody needs to get educated. We need to educate our children. We should have learned this when we were children. We should need to teach this to our children. We need to create in the hearts and the minds of our children in America here the foundation of who we are as a people. They need to understand their heritage. They need to be able to exercise their unalienable rights. They need to be able to represent themselves in a court, to come in pro per, in their own person. They need to understand the difference between an equity court and a law court, and how that could be abused. you know, we, and it starts with us. It starts with we, the people, starts with us right here at National Liberty Alliance, those people that are listening in, those people that are interested. That's where it starts. You need to be involved in your local communities, but in the county, at the county level, and working in all of the towns, whatever town you're in, but you need to collect together in a county with committees of safety and start taking control of the schools, taking control. We've got a lot to say about schools and what needs to be done in schools and how we can go about approaching and bringing our schools back to a real education. An education that by the time they get, and you know, I speak about this often, that we don't need much more than ninth grade education, and they should be able to graduate as a you know, as a college level in ninth grade. But
right.
You know, I think it's okay to go for the full 12 years, and we can give our children a really good, solid education. And what a nation we would be if we all understood who we are as a people, what our heritage is, how to have government by consent, and what our duty is as one of the people. And we have to give a little time back just by coming to a meeting and getting involved locally to make sure the government is kept in check. So.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Now I want to say something, and I just want to end it, and I want you to think about what I'm about to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got the birds, the bees, all these different species on this planet. The tree's going to grow even if it doesn't rain, okay? It's going to flourish. It's going to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you actually think that God placed any limits on us? Because God, the Creator, I see a lot of people go to church every Sunday, and then they, as soon as they get out of church, they're drinking and smoking and sinning and doing everything else, and they're right back at it on Sunday.
Well, did you listen to tonight's
Bible reading? Say again?
Did you listen to tonight's Bible reading? Romans chapter 7? Go right ahead.
I got off late.
And
I got off late.
Well, you can go listen.
I don't think people understand that God didn't place any limits on any species that was created. So in my mind, when I, you know, listen to the calls and see what's going on in the world, I grew up with somebody, you know, their son was killed, and they text messaged the mom the picture of the dead body here in Orlando. So, you know, there's so much evil on the planet that it's unbelievable. But the thing is, I think, consciously, we're not thinking consciously on the level of God. And I think that is our problem in the court system, because they took the courts, they took God out of the courts. They took it out of schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, I think that we need to think not like man, but like God.
Well,
and a lot of people say, what would Jesus do? And people say it, but they don't really understand it, because Jesus was poor.
Yeah, well,
Jesus did all these things out of the goodness of the heart. So, you know, here we are, we're battling a battle that we are not winning, because Satan, which was a beautiful angel at first to rebel, was given dominion over the planet, and they're winning, even though they're not going to win, but they're trying to take as many of us as they can. But, you know, personally, me as an individual, I have to stop thinking on the level of man and think on the level of God, and I think that's how we will win, because God's going to win anyway. You understand?
Absolutely, but you have to realize that you're never going to get everyone on the same page, and it's not important to get everyone on the same page. And here is the key, and God speaks about this in the Bible. This is, and I was bringing this up, bring it to more of a conclusion when I was talking about Jacob and Israel and those who cleave to Jacob. Okay, the God speaks of a blessing upon all three. Okay, a blessing upon his children. A blessing upon Jacob, who is in the process of becoming Christian. You know, it's that picture of the corporate church, and of course, in there is also the weeds. So we got to remember that. There's, you know, there's the wheat and the tares, the wheat, which is the weeds. And then there are those who cleave okay, then that's necessarily, you know, in a believer at all, but they see the process, they see the justice, they see the process of government that is really, really something that they desire themselves, and they can't have it, they can't find it anywhere else but other in a Christian focused nation. The Bible does command us to have the mind of Christ, but remember that, you know, God tells us, it's in Isaiah 14, we read about the wisdom seven pillars, and it's also mentioned in 2 Peter, and where the pillars, the seven pillars, is virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And that is supposed to be the reflection of Christian. That's the reflection of the children of God. Okay? And we have to have patience with people. We have to accept people for what they are. If they're an atheist and they want to dwell with us and work on these things, they're welcomed in. Who knows? Maybe they'll get a blessing from that. They can be a Jew. They can be, and the Jews are very close to Christians. You know, after all, first half of the Bible, most of the books of the Bible, it focuses in Judaism. It's the Jews that had it.
I know.
But it doesn't matter what religion or lack of religion, as long as people are willing to work towards the cause. They don't have to believe that liberty is a blessing, but they can see the liberty and they can desire it and they can achieve it in a Christian nation. But the key thing is for children of God, for God's children, to step up and stand up, because that's who we are at the foundation. It's their job to step up and do what has to be done and reflect the mind of Christ. The Bible commands us to have the mind of Christ. And so
but is it going to save their soul?
Let me just finish my last point. The mind of Christ is found between the books of Genesis and Revelation. That's where you find the mind of Christ. Now, what were you saying? Something about the soul?
Say people believe in religion, but is it going to save their soul? No, it's not, because look at all these pastors making millions of dollars and standing in these million-dollar houses and driving these $400,000 and $100,000 cars, and they're just taking 10%. But the creator of this planet didn't need any money to create any of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at, you know, again, there's a mixed bag here to begin with, okay? And you're going to have all kinds of people, and all are welcome. And that's the key. If you go study, you know, go into the Old Testament and study the you know, Israel coming out of Egypt and wandering for 40 years and establishing their government when they get into the Promised Land, follow through that story, okay? And you can see how they accepted anyone. They didn't have to be a believer. They accepted them because they wished to dwell with them because of the government structure that they were living under. They were living under, it's the first common law republic in the world. And the second one is the United States. Even England didn't have what they had. Even England didn't have what we've got. We've got a constitution. We've got a republic. And we've got a focus. And we didn't establish an earthly king. We established a heavenly king. The heavenly king established himself. We acknowledged the heavenly king and put him as the pinnacle of our courts. And so everybody has to come in there and make their decisions from their heart. They have to come with that sense of honor, a sense of justice, a sense of mercy. It has to be drilled into the people when they come to sit as a grand jurist or a petit jurist. That needs to be drilled into them that is the position that they have to come from. And I wrote the book for one for the petit jury and one for the grand jury. Those are available. You can get them for free in PDF forms up on our website. Or you can go out and buy a handbook, your pocket handbook, for a couple of dollars. And those are powerful books. That's what we need to teach our jurors. Okay, if a jurist learns what's in those little handbooks, what grand jurist learns in that handbook, and a trial jurist learns in that handbook, and I separated them purposely, but if they learn what's in that book, those books, okay, then they will be able to judge righteously. Okay, and that's the attitude we have to have. And it doesn't matter what they are. They could be an atheist. They could be any kind of religion. They could be a religious person. They could be a godly person. They could be Jacob, or they could be Israel, or they could be those who cleave. It doesn't matter. okay? And we need to accept those people. And look at blessings really come forward to all that are willing to accept and live under justice, because that's the key. Right. That's what we want. And people know what is just. Even people who are not Christians, they know what is just. There are people whose conscience have been seared, in different places, of course, you know. But generally speaking, and maybe even in the hearts of those people, they can see it clearly what is just and right, you know. But anyway.
Right. Wait. Do you know there's Egyptian statues and holographics and artifacts in the Grand Canyon? Did you know there's Egyptian pyramids?
Oh, yeah.
Off the coast of the Mississippi River that's drying up, that's about to be really exposed? I could say a lot of things.
All of those buildings, all of those stones, all of those pyramids, all of those unbelievable buildings that we can't even build today with stone and granite stone. We can't even build it today. All of that was built by the children of Adam. That was Adam's children who built it. So this goes back to 12, you know, Adam was cast out of the garden and into time 12,000 years ago. And hang on a second.
I don't want to take up too much time, but, you know, there's a lot of things going on in my mind as I listen. And I know a lot of things. So, you know, I don't want to hold up any more time. But the thing is that we need to start thinking like man and start thinking like God, because God lives within everything that was created.
Well, again, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And I can tell you that it appears to me, from what I can see, that Jacob and Israel is the participating. You know, Jacob, this is a parable picture. You know, it's sort of a parable. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. That's Jacob was on his way to live under God. And when he became a child of God, his name was changed to Israel. Christ is referred to as Israel. Moses.
You know what Israel stands for?
Israel
stands for Isis, Egyptian, Ra, Egyptian, Elohim.
Well, that's may be able to break it up that way, but the Bible is clear that Israel is my son. Okay, that's the answer. That's the answer that God gave to Moses to take to Pharaoh. Israel is my son. Let my people, my son, go. He's talking about the body of Christ, the body of believers. You know, the body of believers back in the Old Testament, or body of believers in the New Testament.
Right. And Moses is actually Akhenaten. So,
well, I guess you could make that parable. Look,
he worshiped the son, so you're correct.
Yeah, I'm very careful, though, with confusing things with the Bible. But anyway, this isn't a Bible study, so I don't want to go too deep. But we
don't have to go on that Bible study. All right. Good night, and thank you, Anna. Send the email.
Thank you. Yeah, just to finish the point, we do have to acknowledge God, and we have to.
God is coming. It's coming. Be prepared.
All right. Thanks for the call, Felicia. Appreciate it. And we'll take our next caller. All right. Let's see. Our next caller is Ross. You got the mic. Go right ahead, Ross.
Hello. This is. I'm wondering. Who's my state coordinator for Oregon?
Your state coordinator for Oregon? All right. Well, what county are you in?
I'm in Clackamas County. I'm the organizer for Clackamas County. So who's the coordinator for the whole state?
Okay, well, state coordinator for Oregon is found here on our directory page here. And let's see, Oregon. That would be number one. And district number one is John. His phone number is here. I don't know if that needs to be updated, but I don't know if John is here or if Jen knows about this, any kind of update with this. But anyway, that's his phone number right there. That's district.
That's a district. the district coordinator. I mean the state level coordinator.
Well, that's what I mean. This is District 1, which covers the state of Washington, Oregon, and Alaska. Okay, that's the district for those three states. Okay, District 2 is California, Nevada, and Hawaii. Okay, and then 3 is Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, and so on and so forth through these districts. So we broke it up, and this your district coordinator is John. If you give him a call. Matter of fact, hopefully I'll be talking with John soon. I haven't spoke with him in a while, and we were supposed to be doing some things, and I was supposed to do a lot of things, but I've been dead for 30 days. I mean, just done. But anyway, give him a call.
I was referring to a person locally in our state, just because he's not from my district anyways.
Okay, well, he would be a coordinator between National Liberty Alliance and all of the committees of safety within those three states, all those counties, and he would assist in any way he can, get a list of people, get a list of people in your county and all the counties within your state with phone numbers, no emails, just phone numbers, and you can make contact with them. But if you want to go deeper into that, okay, we're looking at Oregon. So if you come down a little further, I don't know why this alarm's set tonight. I know why, yes. Okay. If you come down here, to Oregon. Right here is Oregon. You click on Oregon, and you'll go to Committee of Safety Leaders. Oregon only has two people active, you and Peter, as far as building committees of safety. Now, I got to connect with a few people who are, going to be working with that on a national level, working with the coordinators and try to discover how many committees of safety we got going and give a report to the people here on one Monday night. But we have to really start to stimulate that work. We went out to an event last week. And we met a lot of people, handed out a lot of literature. I handed out 1,000 free handbooks. And we met with 9 leaders, people who are movers and shakers, and gave them a copy of the book, Government by Consent, to them. Well, hopefully that's going to be fruitful, and it's going to hopefully springboard us to that critical mass that we so desperately need. And people coming in and really get their education and start building committees of safety to take this nation back. And if we fail to do that, then we're going to fail to really have the blessings of liberty that we can have.
So, yes. Also, we still have to take control of the court system as well.
Well, we're working on here. We're working, National Liberty Alliance, we've been working on that for 13 or 14 years now. 14 years, actually. We've been working on that for 14 years, and we are at that point in time that we're at the precipice, and there's going to be a paradigm shift in our court system, and I believe we're going to push that forward and push them over the edge bring that about. Of course, it's not going to happen without the devolution in play, and devolution is in play. So the timing is right. The papers are being written, and we'll be talking about that in the coming weeks. I think what we're putting together is going to be extremely powerful, extremely powerful.
Yeah. How can join the case?
Everyone is in the case. If you have a case in the court, you can join your case. But other than that, collectively as we the people, through National Liberty Alliance, and through our membership alone, that's who we are. We are the grand jury, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, and we're writing the papers from that perspective. Writing, and that's why we went and organized every state in the union and brought the message to every county in America. The building and constructing of the committees of safety, we were kind of late on that. That only been going on for about 2 years now, roughly speaking, that we're really pushing forward with that kind of a thing and that kind of a drive. I, to be honest, I don't know where we are with how many committees of safety because, again, I have to get some reports, talk to people that are involved, go back and look at the numbers, make the counts, and find out how many committees of safety we actually have going. Again, once we, you know, we'll make a report as soon as we know that. But we have to push people to get out and do something. People need to get up and do. If you're not doing something, well, you're not doing your duty, because
I feel like I'm not doing anything right now.
Well, you're trying, and that's the beginning, and that's good. Okay, that's where it starts, in trying. You have to find at least one partner. Eventually, you'll find somebody. If you get a hold of John, he'll give you a list of all the people in your state. Okay, and it'll be broken up by counties. You start with your county, then the counties next to your county, and so on and so forth. And you can call people and get partnerships going, you know, work together for build committees of safety in your county. Or you might have a couple of people in this county and a couple of people in that county and a couple of people in your county, and you can all work together as you strive toward that point and assist each other and get your independent committees of safety going in the respective counties, you know.
Does John have any information about, like, freedom, liberty groups in Oregon or Washington?
Well, you know, to find liberty groups, I don't think that he has anything particular, but I'm going to try to get a meeting going with all of the district leaders shortly, and I got to get with the national leaders first, and then I'll get together with the district leaders, and then we'll lay out some things, and I think we've given this information in writing. excuse me. You know, look at one of the places you can find liberty groups is meetup.com. Go up to meetup.com, put in your zip code, your state, or your zip code, or both, or whatever they ask for, I forget, and you click on 25-mile radius or 50-mile radius or whatever it is, and you search for liberty groups. And then you can make contact with those liberty groups, ask them if you can come out and speak to them and talk to them about National Liberty Alliance and what we're doing and to save the nation. Or you can, you know, if you can get a hold of the leadership and have a conversation, you know, a cup of coffee or something with them and explain what we're doing, get them to look at National Liberty Alliance. Our front page is very powerful. And people who have been members for a long time, you know, our front page has really changed and grown over the years. And not so long ago, maybe a year or so ago, I redone the whole front page. I mean, some of the things are still there, but I redone a lot of it and laid it out. If anybody wants to know what National Liberty Alliance is and what we're doing and what our plan is, all they have to do is read our front page and watch the videos on our front page. By the time they get through this, they will understand our plan very clearly. Now, for the details on how to do it, okay, we also tell them where to go. Education starts here, and start a committee of safety starts here. And just go right down here. Start here to organize a committee of safety. Read about it and work through it. We actually have a handbook on our handbooks here. We have handbooks on the charter, a committee of safety committee man book handbook, we committee of safety organizing handbook. That's the key handbook right there, and that's a 66-page PDF handbook. Okay, which that I believe is also available in a pocket handbook too, but you'd have to pay for that. This is free on the PDF. And so anyway, it lays everything out. We've tried to lay everything out and make it clear. So let me just make the point one more time so that people can speak to people about this, okay? You want to know and understand Committee, National Liberty Alliance and what it is we're doing, just read the front page and watch the videos on the front page. Once you see what we're doing, start to educate yourself. Education starts here. Start from the very top and work your way down. There's a breadcrumb trail on this. At the same time, you get active in your community, start a committee of safety here. You're going to get educated and start a committee of safety at the same time. I mean, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We don't need to wait to get educated completely in order to do this. We're all on, working this out, going to the School of Hard Knocks. We're learning as we go, you know. So those are the key things. And now to be informed, today's issues will inform people. on all of the dangers and the situation, what's going on, devolution, blow by blow, what's going on behind the scenes right now. Then, of course, our directory, which gives us gives people contact information. Okay, we have a members page. We have federal court cases. People who are really into the court cases, you know, court their own court cases, they do well to read a lot of these cases that we've written and see where we're coming from. So, again, everything people need is here, but we got to get them started. And this is where it starts, on the front page. And but unfortunately, a lot of people talk, a lot of people are listening to a lot of other people, but they're not doing anything. And when you try to get them to do something, they don't seem to want to budge. And, you know, that's something that's a problem. But we can get enough people to do what we have to do. Again, we don't need everybody. We only need a handful of people, you know, 100 people, 200 people in a county, which you should quickly be able to get once you get going and have meetings. People will start to come there, especially people with problems, to connect to help other people with problems, and you become very powerful that way. So it'll grow quickly once you get it started. In 6 months to a year, you should easily have more than 100 people probably in your county once you get started.
Okay.
Okay, I got to go to the next caller. Time is running out. Matter of fact, it has run out, but I'll stay long enough. We got one other caller. Thanks, Ross. We'll talk next week, maybe, again. Okay, let me go to Jim here. Jim, from PA, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello, John. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. How you doing?
Okay, listen, I had a question I was supposed to ask you last week, contact you and ask you about.
Okay.
But the question is, the name of the publisher of the Common Law Handbook for Jurors, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices.
Right. What about it?
Can you give me the name of that publisher? I want to contact him to get copies for myself and for National Liberty Alliance.
Well, I wrote that book.
Well, but how can I get copies of it? I do have
some copies. I have about 100 copies left. I handed out a lot of them, 1,000 of them. I didn't even realize I had that many left over, but I found them in my garage, so I took them to the event that I went to, and we handed out 1,000 copies. Hopefully that's going to become fruitful for us. But I can send you some if you want. You know, the problem is I didn't republish that book for a number of reasons, because I broke it up. We have a sheriff's handbook, we have a jurist handbook, so I've kind of broken it up. But a person came online, a guy named Robinson. He came onto our website, downloaded the book, went up onto Amazon, wrote the put the book up there as he's the owner, and he's been selling. It's a bestseller. It's one of the bestsellers on Amazon right now. And, you know, it's my work, but he stole it. And I can't find him. I looked for phone numbers, and every number I called for Robinson, I think he's up in Massachusetts, if I remember. He's somewhere up in New England. I forget what state. I think it's Mass. And I just can't find him to tell him to cease and desist, to stop. So he's selling. Matter of fact, if you go look at my books, you'll find this book show up. It will show up right next to my books, and he's selling it and making money off of it.
Well, like I said, I want to purchase some so I can have some for myself, and I wanted to make sure you, because we can't get them online. That's
well, how many are you looking to purchase? I mean,
how many do you have? 100, 200? I mean, there's people that will distribute them.
Yeah, I've got 100. I mean, I can give you for a buck a piece. If you went up, let's see, hang on a second. Let me see. Let's see, right here, I think, if you go here, look at right here, you'll see these three books are sold a lot, the Common Law Handbooks for Jurors, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices. Now, again, I rewrote these books and broke them up, so we have just the Sheriff's book and the Jurist Handbook. And he's selling them for, how much is he selling them for? Was it $5 or something? It looks like $5. Yeah, $5 he's selling these for. Okay, and again, that's my handbook. But if you buy it from him, you know, you're not supporting National Liberty Alliance. I do have, like I said, about 100 left. If you wanted them, I can give them to you for a buck a piece, maybe.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, just send me an email with your name and address, where to ship it to. I'll drop it in the mail tomorrow, and you can drop a check in the mail, you know, a money order or whatever. Send me an email. Send it to.
Okay, I will do that.
Send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. I'll be keeping my eyes out open for that.
All right. Listen, I've asked you before, and it didn't work last time. We were speaking for the Constitution Party, our national meeting. We wanted you to speak, conference call, and it didn't work out. I don't know if I should try. It's running late, but we're going to be meeting in Nevada on November 11th and 12th. Would you be interested in trying to speak to a group of constitutionalists?
Oh, absolutely. I'll speak to anybody at any time, anywhere. I won't be able to travel out there, but you can take me in by, one of the programs. So we can come in by Skype, do a Skype call.
Okay. Remember, it didn't work out last time. I think we were down in either one of the Carolinas, North Carolina, North or South Carolina, and we had our meeting. It didn't work out with you. I don't know. But, you know, I can't keep... trying to arrange this if it doesn't work out. I mean, if you can...
You'll need to just connect me with the person who is organizing it, and we can discuss the details of what's necessary for me to join. Hopefully we'll be able to use Skype. I know whenever I do a presentation, we always have an Internet connection. Not that we use much of it, but we have that. And we have... I used to put up a screen and a projector, and, we have all that. And I got to believe if they're doing a presentation, they probably have a screen already. So, I mean, if they have a screen and a laptop and an Internet connection and Skype, I can come right in and talk right through the screen. We could do it live or whatever. But all I need to be connected with the individuals organizing it so that we can work out the details.
Okay, I'll work on that. If you're interested in talking, I thought you would be. Okay, but it's a late notice. I'm going to try, and then I'll get back to you about the common law handbooks. And
Send me an email. Send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay.
Just send it today. I'll respond back, and I'll give you my cell phone number and some contact information, also where to send the check, and I'll drop it a box off once I get the address. I'll put a box in the mail tomorrow or the next day, and it'll take about 5 days to get to you.
Okay, very good.
Okay?
Very good.
Okay, thank you. That was our last caller. Thanks, Jim. Okay, and anybody else wants me to speak anywhere with any group, if it's close by, I can travel. You know, I can't go too far, but, I'll drive somewhat. But I can also do it through Skype, however we want to work that out. But we do have to grow, and we do have to get our committees of safety going, and we have to get educated, and everybody needs to get involved. Even if you're a person who's a little shy, or you're not a speaker, you're not a good articulator, or you don't think you're a good organizer, all that doesn't matter. We're all learning. We're all going to the School of Hard Knocks. You know, I never could speak. Years ago, I could never speak to a group of people. I just wasn't someone who would come up and talk to groups. I would shy away from that kind of thing. But as time goes on, little by little, before you know it, you're doing anything you have to do. But the key thing is this. No one person is going to work this out. No one person has all the knowledge. Everybody has a little bit of knowledge. Everybody learns. Everybody picks up. Everybody figures things out. And when you bring the minds together, the meeting of the minds, what this one lacks, the other this one has. You know, so you work everything out. You know, just like all the different committees you're going to need: a committee of correspondence, a committee of education, a political committee, a judicial committee. All these different committees you're going to have. You know, one person's going to learn more about this area, and another person's going to learn about that area. And again, you know, we're going to be administrators for the grand jury, those who want those jobs, and those are paid positions. We need 5 people for each county, one of which is a paralegal. But we need 4 administrators plus a paralegal, which makes it 5 administrators for every county. That's the process. And all of us are learning on the job. Hey, we'll figure it out. So, and we got plenty of information. We got books. Wrote a lot of books in order to explain all this stuff. Again, under the educational page, very simply, just come under Starter Committee of Safety. Come down to Handbooks and Tools, and there's a tremendous amount of information, books, handbooks, videos, PowerPoints, everything we put together for this purpose. Just dig in and start working right down to, you know, we wrote up the framework for a charter. Everybody's got to have a charter. We have to have a seal. You know, everybody's got to have a seal. We laid out how to create that seal, where to get those seals. We have the common law handbook. We have elected officials handbook. We have the grand jury handbook. We have the militia codes and rules and resolutions handbook. We have a pettigrees handbook. We have the sheriff's handbook. I think I mentioned that. We have the Committee of Safety Committee Man handbook. That's the political book. The Committee of Safety Organizing handbook, which is organizing the whole process. And I'm sure there's going to be some other handbooks will be written, you know. So all of this stuff is here, instructional PDF documents, Robert's Rules of Order. Eventually you learn all that stuff. Videos and PowerPoint videos that could be used at your meetings. As a matter of fact, you can come in and download. This is the presentation that I put together that you'll find on the front page. And we have all the videos. This is it right here. And, you could do a PowerPoint in between, or you can run my video and have a little bit of a discussion in between each one of these videos, which would be your first meeting. First meeting will be a long meeting. It should be a Saturday, and maybe you're starting around noontime or 1 o'clock, and it's going to go for 3 or 4 hours. Figure in 4 hours, because, at the end you're going to have an open forum and a conversation and a planning for the next meeting. And those who've come to that meeting, that first meeting from other counties, you're going to assist them, hopefully, to start committees of safety in their county and go and help them in their county for their first meeting. And so on and so forth. We have to partnership not only with ourselves within our county, we have to partnership county to county, okay? We have to do what we got to do to save this nation. Trump and the military may be able to give it back to us, but we have to be capable of taking it, because there's going to be a power void. There's going to be a void there, and it's going to be filled by someone. And the last thing we want is political animals filling the void of power. Only the people can do this, and only people really can save America. Okay, with that, we're going to end our program. Let me end the Q&A. All right, I thank everyone for coming, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And when you come back, bring a friend. Thanks for coming.